I have to apologize in advance for my throat. I have a raspy voice, and I had the crud the other day, and I was like, you know what? Satan knows how to put a damper on things sometimes, but you know what? I know that God's going to give me the strength. Amen? Amen. Hey, would you put your hands again for the graduates again? Amen. Amen. Well, hey, before I start my sermon, I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to this family. This family has been an incredible family to me and my fiance, and I just want to say thank you for the 2.5 years I have been the youth pastor here. I really appreciate all of you, and I thank you for always helping me out, encouraging me. Even when my voice sounds like this, and it sounds really terrible, I know, I'm sorry. but I really appreciate every single one of you, and I thank you for that. To our graduation class, congratulations. This is an awesome opportunity for you to just soar, because God's got amazing plans for your life. This morning, the title of my message is called, Don't Forget What He Said. Don't forget what he said. When I was in Botswana, I would travel with my father quite a lot, and we would go into villages all over the country, and my father would preach open-air crusades, three-night revival meetings, and he would pick me up from school in our Speed of Light vehicle, and I would just hop in, and we just go to a village, and for the weekend, he would always make sure that my homework was done, and it was done, so I could go with him, and we just loved being around the national church. We loved empowering them and equipping them. But when we were on a lot of our trips, we would come across sometimes these huge trees, and they're called baobab trees. A lot of them are found in Madagascar. They're found in southern Africa, but in Botswana they had quite a lot of them. And so whenever we would see them, we'd pull off to the side and we'd get a picture, kind of compare them when we get home of what kind of, like, how big was this one, bigger than the last one, and that kind of thing. And as I was doing research on these trees, because they're not common. Around the world. They're only found in certain parts of Africa. And as I was doing research on it, I was amazed to know that these trees can reach from anywhere from 16 to 98 feet high, and their diameter can range between 23 and 36 feet wide. That's incredible. That is incredible. And they can also live up to 6,000 years old as well. It's pretty incredible. Now, when you look at this tree, you would think to yourself, what good can come out of this tree? Like, that's in the Kalahari Desert, that is leafless for most of its years. What good can come out of it? Well, when doing research, I found, and even if you ask some people that live around there, you'll find that this tree can be used for a lot of different things. One of them is shelter. Shelter from the 100 degrees in the shade heat in Botswana and other countries in Africa. So it can be used for shelter. It can be used for protection. You can climb the tree and protect yourself from lions and hyenas, believe it or not, because they do roam the villages in southern Africa. And so you can protect yourself from there. But it also can be used for clothing. The bark on this tree, you can use it for clothing, but you can also use it for rope. And so it's pretty awesome. But it also can, you can also use this for food. Now, I'm going to tell you this, the name of this fruit. I promise you, I did not make it up. All right. The food that you can get from this is called monkey bread. Monkey bread, it's the size of a coconut. It's edible to eat, and it's got a lot of vitamin C. So you can get food from this tree. You can get water from this tree. Over 120,000 liters you can store of water in this, in these trunks of this tree. Medicine. Now I don't know about, I wouldn't probably do it for medicine, but when it does sprout leaves, you can actually use the leaves for medicine purposes, they say. Now you would not know that. You would not know any of those things unless you did your research, unless you asked someone about this tree. Now I had to change my perspective on this tree. And a lot of times we have a different perspective of this word. We have a different perspective of this word because we think of this sometimes as an ordinary book. We think of this as an ordinary book that just collects dust on our bookshelves, and because it looks like a book, it feels like a book, it has pages like a book, it's got page numbers like a book, it's got a hardback like a book. It is a book, but it's not some ordinary book. It's not some ordinary book. It's more than that. This is the inspired word of God. And if I have to change my perspective on this tree, then I would think that we sometimes have a tendency to look at this as an ordinary book. I don't know about you, but there are days when I really, really need. Now, I just look at this and I'm like, oh, you know what? Yeah, it's the word of God. I have a tendency to do that, but honestly, if we really look at it and really digest it, understand it, know it, God speaks through this. God speaks through this, and there's not one other book. There's not one other book that God speaks through than the Word of God. And so I want us to just, if you look at this book as just some ordinary book, I want to encourage you to change your perspective. Change your perspective with me. And students, I want to encourage you this graduation Sunday with this raspy voice that I have, and sounds terrible, but I want to encourage you to not look at this as some ordinary book. I don't want you to go through life thinking that this is some ordinary book and have the tendency to feel that way every single day. You are out in the real world. There's three promises that I want to talk to you about in this book that I believe God has really given to me to give to this congregation, not just to our graduates. Let me just make that clear. I'm not speaking necessarily just to our graduates. I'm speaking to this body. This body is an amazing body, but we all have a tendency to do this. To look at this as some ordinary book at times. And I want us to be reminded of what this word of God says. And I want our students to be reminded to not forget what he says. Amen? Amen. So let's jump in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says this: All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. So if we believe this is the inspired word of God, then we believe it's alive and it's active in our hearts. That's what we believe. And one of the promises that he gives to us is he will not leave us. He won't leave you. He won't leave you. We hear this all the time. Students, you hear me quote this scripture over and over and over again, that he will never leave you nor forsake you. You've heard me say that so many times, and it's true. But if it's ever been true, if it's ever been true in your life, you don't mind hearing it over and over and over again. You don't mind having to listen to it and memorize it and be reminded of it over and over and over again. And so when Moses said this, the Israelites were about to cross the River Jordan, and they were going to do it without him. They were going to cross this Jordan River without Moses. The man that led them through slavery and bondage in Egypt, out of bondage, and into across the Red Sea and going into the Promised Land, they were going to do it without him. That had to have been pretty scary. They had to probably been thinking, what in the world are we going to do about this? Like the man of God is not going to come with us. Why? They must have been, some of the leaders must have been panicking because their leader is not going to cross the Jordan River. That had to have been really scary because he was the mouthpiece. He was God's mouthpiece to them. And if he was God's mouthpiece, then when someone had to step up, and we know who stepped up after him. But this had to have been a really scary time for the tribe of Israel. And this is what Moses tells them. To be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Remember this and hold on to it, students. Remember that and hold on to it. I can tell you that there have been many times in my life where I felt alone, and I felt afraid, and I didn't, in making the transition from high school to college and from college to the real world. There have been many times when I felt alone, and when I did feel alone, I went to God in prayer. I went to God in prayer, and I found myself being reminded of this passage, that he will not leave me nor forsake me. Be strong and courageous, Marco. You're going to make it through. You are not alone. I am with you. No matter where you go, I am with you. Even if nobody knew where I was, and there was a lot of times when I felt like nobody knew where I was, nobody understood where I was, nobody really got me. Nobody understood me, but God did. And students, when you leave home, there will be times that you feel alone and you do feel afraid, but I'm here to tell you, understand that you are not alone. Understand that God cares about you and that he's got a plan for your life. And every step you take, he will guide you, but you have to stay faithful in his word. You got to stay faithful. You got to remind yourself to not forget what he said in his word. Amen. Amen. The second promise that I'm reminded of when it comes to God's word is this. He won't let you break. He won't let you break. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. Say that with me. And God is faithful. He will not leave you. Let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can endure it. Amen. In life, when there will be many times when you have been dealt a bad hand. You have been dealt a bad hand and you don't understand why. There's going to be times like that. Why maybe you go to 4 years of college and you graduate and you find out that you can't get a position in the field that you studied for. That's pretty rough. Maybe why you have a death in the family during an important transition and you don't know how to move on because that person was super close to you. That's a pretty bad hand. Maybe too, you were engaged to someone and one of you ended up calling the engagement off. These scenarios that I talked about, they sometimes will make you feel like you are breaking. They will make you feel like you're breaking. But really, God says that he will not let us break. We may face trials like these and feel like we're going to break, but he will not let you break. He will let you bend, but he will not let you break because of what his word says. There are some here, even in this room, I know some of your stories. I know some of the things that you all had to walk through in life. They were pretty rough. You were dealt a bad hand. You probably at that time didn't understand why. But I know this, that you're sitting in these pews, you're sitting in these chairs today, and you are an overcomer in Christ because what God did for you, he provided a way out for you, and you endured it. Amen? So there are many times where we're going to face trials like this. And when we do, when we face trials that seem impossible, remember what his word says. Remember what he said. He won't give you more than what you can bear. He won't give you more than what you can bear. He might let you bend, but you will not break. Remember, Christ says that you are a son and daughter of the King. You are his masterpiece. You are his friend. You are more than a conqueror through him who loves you. What man says is impossible, God says is possible, students. That is our God. That is who we are. That's what he said in his word. So we should not forget what he said. I can say that there have been many times in my life when I've had to bend. When I've had to bend, it's been super painful. It's brought me to my knees. It made me sob. There have been so many times through my entire life that I've had to go through transitions and trials have come. And I honestly thought I was going to break. There were times when I contemplated the call of God on my life, and it was because that the enemy was just starting to throw everything he could at me. But it only made me bend because God will not let me break. I ran to Jesus and he strengthens me. And you know why he strengthens me? Because he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is his word. And when you memorize his word, when it sinks deep down into your heart, it does something to you. It excites you. It gets you pumped up. It gets you, gets you to the place where God wants you to be. And it's only because of his word. It's not because of your abilities. It's not because of your talents. It's not because of anything else in this world. It's not because you know people. It's not because of that. It's all because of his word and what he's done on the cross. That is where you are. And that is why I am here where I am this morning. So I run in Christ. And he strengthens me. He'll do it for you if you allow him to, students. He'll do it for you. No matter what happens, he will not let you break. Just remember Pastor Marco in this raspy voice. Just remember this. Just remember Pastor Marco in his raspy voice that he will not let you break. He will not let you break. You might bend a little bit, but you will not break. Amen. The third and final promise that I know that he says in his word over and over again is this. He's coming back. He's coming back. You know, we don't talk a lot about his return hardly anymore. You know, when I grew up in church and I cut my teeth on the pews and even crawl underneath the pews and everything else. We'd love to do all that as a PK and as a MK even. And the floors in Africa were much dirtier than our floors here, I can tell you that. But we don't talk about his return anymore. We really don't. But this is something so crucial that God has given us in his word that he's said over and over and over again to us that he is returning. He's coming back for his bride, which is the church. Christ loves his bride. Christ loves his bride, and he's coming back for his bride. Husbands, and Paul says, and gives a beautiful analogy in Ephesians chapter 5. And it says this, husbands should love their wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's what the word of God says. That husbands should love their wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. The church is not a building. We always say, we may say that and everything, but oftentimes out in the real world, they view the church as a building, as a structure, as a campus, as an object. We're not an object. We are not an object that's built by brick. We are not an object built by brick. We are the church. The people are the church. And the church is what he's coming back for. He's not coming back for this building. He's not coming back for any of our buildings here. He's not coming back for that. He's coming back for you and I. He's coming back for your heart and mine. And that's what he's saying. That's what the Apostle Paul says here in his word, that he's talking about you. He's talking about me. Anyone that calls upon the name of the Lord and has a relationship with him, he is coming back for. This is something that he has said multiple times in his word. So we, as a body of believers, need to treat every single day as if he is returning. We need to treat every single day as if he is returning. It's easier said than done. I understand that. But his word says it. His word says that he's coming back. And I don't know about you, but I don't want him to come back, and I'm not ready for his return. I don't want to stand there and be in shock of where I am in life, and I did not put him first. I'm not in right relationship with him. I don't want to be caught in that circumstance. I don't. And so I'm going to follow his word. I'm going to do what he says for me to do. And I'm not going to forget what he said in his word. Because one day he's going to return for those that are in right relationship with him. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 13, it says this. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. You know, I'll be honest with you. I laugh a lot of times at some of these guys on TV that think that they know when Christ is coming back. I really do laugh at them, because I just think you must not be reading the same word as I am. I'm serious, wow, like this has probably more copies sold than any other book in the entire world. Yeah, people dying for this book, to read this book, and you're gonna mess up on something like that? Like, really? Really? Because my Bible says keep watch. You don't know the day or the hour. You don't know when he's going to return. We don't know any of what's going to happen. We do know from prophecies that he is coming back, but we don't know exactly when. And so for us as a church body, for us, for you students, you have to make your relationship right every single day. You got to commit yourself to the Lord every single day, and you cannot forget what he said in his word. We know he's coming back because he said he would. Because he said he would. And this morning, I want us to be reminded of these three promises that God has never left us nor forsake us. He won't let us break. And he is coming back. If I could have the worship team come back up. Students, this is an amazing time in your life. You're going to remember this moment for a very, very long time. Everybody here remembers their high school graduation. It's an amazing time. You're going to have the world pull at you every which way. Most of you are going to a secular university, and you're going to be pulled every which way to tell, and people tell you what to believe, what to do, what not to do, what to believe, what not to believe, all these sort of things. And all they do is going to try and drift you away from your relationship with God. That's all they're going to try and do. So don't forget what he said, because what he said is true, and it will come to pass. It will come to pass. His word is over 2,000 years old. That's a lot more than a professor's mind is put together. God's word is true. God's word is true, and it's good. So cling to what is good. In Romans chapter 12, verse 9, it says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Hate what is evil. And cling to what is good. And what is true and good is the word of God. What is true and good is the word of God. That's what is good. So cling to it. Hold on to it. Hold it as tightly as possible. This wasn't in my notes, but you know, when you all know that I'm a missionary kid, and most of you know how close I am with my mom and dad. So there are a lot of times when I just miss them. I miss being around them. I miss their company. I miss hearing them talk, even though I talk to them pretty frequently. I knew that I was one day gonna leave the nest, fly away, and be on my own. Throughout my entire college life, You know what has always stayed true and good in my life is this right here. And I have always, always clutched it. No matter where I went, no matter what I do, I knew that he will never leave me nor forsake me, because my mom and dad would pound that into my head. I'm serious. They would pound it into my head until I was able to experience the presence of God for myself. And now I know what he said is true, and he is coming back. He is coming back for you and I. He is coming back. So don't neglect the simple disciplines of what it means to follow Christ. Don't neglect it. Don't neglect prayer every day. Don't neglect reading the word every day, because I can tell you I've read this word so many times, and most of you are probably like me. You've read this more and more times, and every single time you open it up, God speaks to you something different. If you understand that, if you know that, you don't have to speak a certain language to understand that or know that. It is right here in your language. Don't neglect reading your word. Matter even if you have a paper that's due tomorrow and you procrastinate, don't neglect to read your word. I'm serious. I am serious. The reason why why you would have been procrastinating, that's your fault. God still stands here, you know? He's still with you. He's faithful. He's faithful. And he will be faithful to every single one of you students. He is. I'm sure I can go around this room and I could hand the mic over to every single one of you, and you will tell me God has been faithful. God has been faithful. So this morning, we're honoring our students.